You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. Still ahead, we take a closer look at Governor Walker's education budget proposals.
But first, a new study by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says the majority of prepackaged meals and snacks for toddlers contain high levels of salt or sugar.
The study looked at dinners like macaroni and cheese, mini hot dogs, cereals, and fruit snacks. It found that in some cases, single servings of food contain 1.5 times the recommended sodium levels per serving.
Meanwhile, it found that 2/3 of the calorie count in some snacks were made up entirely of sugar. The researchers warn these foods could be putting children at risk and could lead to serious health problems down the road.
Jim O'Hara joins us with reaction to the study. He's the Health Promotion Policy Director at the Center for Science in the Public Interest. Jim, welcome to Central Time.
Good afternoon. Pleased to be with you today, Veronica.
Well, this news may come as a surprise to some people, but was this a surprise to you, the sugar and salt content in toddler foods?
It was and it wasn't. What we know is that in processed food, sodium content varies widely, and we know that in many processed foods, sodium content can be very high. And in fact, most of us get around 75-80% of our sodium intake each day from processed or restaurant foods. What's important about this study is it's really the first comprehensive and systematic look at toddler and infant foods.
And in terms of how much this matters, that these foods are coming in higher than the recommended levels of sugar and sodium, why does it matter for health?
It matters for a number of reasons. First off, again, we know from the scientific evidence that taste preferences for salty, sweet foods get set early in life. So if infants and toddlers are consuming too much sugar and salt, then it's likely to have impact on their dietary habits as they grow older. And in fact, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention published another study last September showing that almost 9 in 10 U.S. children, 6 to 18, are eating more sodium each day than they should. So first off, it sets kids on a path that can have health impacts. And then that's the second issue, really are the health impact. As the authors of the study that came out this week reported, almost 80% of U.S. children age 1 to 3 already exceed 1,500 milligrams a day of sodium. That's the recommended upper limit by the Institute of Medicine. In addition, moving to the added sugars in the diet, 23% of U.S. children age 2 to 5 are overweight or obese, and we know that the added sugar is contributing to that.
Well, you talk about the foods that were studied, things like macaroni and cheese and cereals, mini hot dogs. These are convenience foods, and lots of them, you know, they're kind of staples of childhood. Macaroni and cheese is a standby and has been for decades.
Absolutely.
So where does the problem come in?
Well, as I say, the problem comes in that in our processed food, frankly, too much sodium is being used. The Institute of Medicine in 2010 recommended that the Food and Drug Administration reduce sodium in our food supply. Do it gradually because it's going to take time. Do it in a stair-step fashion so that people's tastes get acclimated. Do it in a reasonable fashion. Various foods have various sodium needs. So, I mean, the real question here is what the food industry can do. And given what the CDC study showed this week, it's incumbent upon parents and caregivers to take a look at the nutrition facts labels on the products that they buy, compare them, see which are high in sodium, which are low in sodium. The CDC study that came out this week said that 3/4 of the products were high in sodium. That meant that they had more than equal to or more than 210 milligrams of sodium per serving. Toddler meals had on average 360 milligrams of sodium per serving. For toddlers ages 12 to 36, an adequate intake is only 1,000 milligrams of sodium a day.
So give us a sense of what is a healthy amount for sugar and salt for kids.
Well, for again, as I said, the Institute of Medicine has said that for toddlers ages 12 to 36 months, an adequate intake, an intake that allows them to develop in a healthy fashion, is 1,000 milligrams a day. The upper level for that age group is 1,500 milligrams a day. Added sugar shouldn't be in the diet of infants and toddlers. And so, again, when you take a look at what this study says, it means that the food industry needs to do a better job. It means parents and caregivers need to be taking a look at food labels, or if their children, their toddlers, are, say, in a child care setting, they should be talking with the child care facility about what nutrition standards the child care facility follows.
So you're looking at this from two angles. On the one hand, you'd like to see the food companies themselves dialing down the sugar and salt, and you also want parents themselves to be more vigilant. Do you think that in the meantime, you know, this is going to take some time to implement if it happens, sugar and salt being reduced, that parents should think about cooking more and buying fewer of these pre-prepared foods?
Well, obviously, that when parents and caregivers can, using fresh fruits and vegetables is the best way to go. But we also need to be realistic and understand, as you mentioned earlier, that at times there's a convenience factor that needs to be taken into account. And again, that is why it's so important to look at the nutrition facts label to understand what it says. One of the things that is happening right now is the nutrition facts label is going to undergo a revision. When it was first put in place in 1993, it was based on the best available dietary science at the time. Obviously, in the decades since then, we've learned more. And one of the proposals that the Food and Drug Administration has made for the nutrition facts label is to have a separate line that says how much added sugar is in a food. That's a proposal that really needs to happen, again, so that parents and caregivers have the information they need to make the healthy decision.
Now, if you look at the shelves of a grocery store, you'll see high salt, high sugar, prepackaged foods marketed to kids of all ages and not just toddlers here. Why does the food industry want to appeal to kids and to do it using, apparently, sugar and salt?
Well, you know, that's really a question for industry to answer. But you're right about the fact that right now, even beyond the toddler years, as I said, CDC looked at sodium intake for American youth between 6 and 18. They found that on average, American youth in that age group are consuming about 3,300 milligrams of sodium a day. That's probably even an underestimate. And the recommended amount of sodium, according to the dietary guidelines, is only 2,300. That's 1,000 plus milligrams extra a day. And most of that sodium is coming from 10 foods. And again, those are foods that shouldn't surprise any of us. Pizza, bread and rolls, cold cuts and cured meats, sandwiches like cheeseburgers, snacks. And so there really does need to be an effort among the food industry to reduce the sodium in the processed food, in the restaurant foods. And until that happens, it's then sort of caveat emptor. It really is parents and caregivers in the marketplace.
Is part of this because, you know, kids eat those foods. Kids eat hot dogs and macaroni and cheese. I mean, it can be a battle to get a child to eat anything, especially in the fussy toddler years. If we take out, you know, some of the stuff that makes it taste good, are you going to have kids who just aren't eating stuff?
No, no. You can clearly have tasty food. You can use herbs and spices. There are plenty of ways to make food very appealing to toddlers and youth.
We're talking right now with Jim O'Hara, Health Promotion Policy Director at the Center for Science in the Public Interest, about a new study saying many toddler foods contain high amounts of salt and sugar.
And we want to hear from you, your questions, your thoughts, and your experiences. Are you now or have you ever been the parent of a toddler, a child, a teen? How do you resolve these issues, the convenience foods, the ones that are easy to cook, easy to get kids to eat? But they got a lot of salt, a lot of sugar in them. Is this a battle in your household? Do you work in Wisconsin's food industry? Love to hear your perspective as well. And what were things like for you growing up? Did you eat a lot of salty, sugary foods? Did that stick with you? Did it form a habit for life? Call now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email talk@WPR.org.
Right now, a check of the latest headlines with Kristen Durst.
This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferrett.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. Right now, we're talking with Jim O'Hara of the Center for Science in the Public Interest about the amount of sugar and salt in toddler foods and what it means for children's health.
And you can join us at 800-642-1234. As a parent, do you or did you struggle with the choice between the healthy stuff and the convenient stuff with the tempting sugar and salt for toddlers, kids, teens? Are you surprised to hear that there's so much sugar and salt in foods sold really for toddlers? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email talk@WPR.org.
Well, go to our first caller now. We have Lorena on the line from Gurnee, Illinois. Hi, Lorena.
Hello.
What do you think?
I think it is a struggle because, you know, a lot of parents, they both work, and it's... hard finding time to actually cook healthy things for our kids. And so I, with my children, maybe because I got married young, I had children young, maybe in my mid-20s, and I was ignorant to a lot of things. But I think what's key is for parents to educate themselves on reading the labels, which, I mean, you hear about everywhere, and kind of getting your kids into little by little introducing them to foods that are lower, and they get it. I grew up eating nothing but junk, and I told myself when my kids got, you know, to grade school or whatever, and I educated myself a little bit more that I was not going to do that with my children. And so it's not to say that we eat healthy all the time, but we're a lot more conscious of what of reading labels and making healthier choices.
Lorena, thanks a lot for sharing that. And Lorena has educated herself. How big a part of this is education, getting people to be aware of the sugar and salt content in food and to make choices based on that? And Jim, your response?
Yes, Veronica. I was going to say, I mean, public education, public health education plays an important role. And for instance, the current debate we're having in the nation about the nutrition standards for school meals is an important debate because it's informing the public, it's informing parents, it's informing caregivers that, in fact, you can eat healthy and still eat tasty. There are plenty of ways. In fact, when you take a look at many of the products that the food industry is providing to the schools, you'll see that in fact they are meeting the targets in the recently passed legislation that calls for reducing sodium, for instance. And so this can be done, and it can be done in a way that again makes it so that's not that kind of a struggle with your kid. I have two teenage boys, And I will remember the struggles we had.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your call, Lorraine. Appreciate that. And let's move on next to Jeff in Watertown. Jeff, hi.
Hi. I'm a pediatrician, actually, and we talk about this all the time, every single day in the clinic. And one of the issues is that especially preschoolers are not hungry every day. They're actually, their body mass index is dropping from about age 2 to age 5 or 6, depending on if you're a boy or a girl. So it really needs to be known by parents so that they are not forcing them to eat when they're not hungry. And your point that you have foods that you can always eat, and so fine, we'll give it to them because at least they'll put something in their mouth. You don't have to. They will eat when they're hungry, and you need to let them stop if they're not hungry. And then you can avoid some of this forced feeding that we do to our children.
Well, thanks a lot, Jeff. Appreciate that perspective from a pediatrician there. Jeff saying, you know, children will eat when they're hungry, and if you have foods that they're used to eating that are healthier, that are there, it doesn't have to be a big production. What do you think, Jim?
No, I think that that's a very important point. And, in fact, in the article that was published this week by the CDC researchers, they point out about how, again, a crucial role, and this goes back to the education point, a crucial role that pediatricians can play in their counseling of parents. Children go for regular wellness visits, and those sessions can become very important educational sessions for parents. I know, again, speaking of my own experience, going to the pediatrician for those wellness visits, we got many very helpful tips on what we could do to ensure a healthier diet for our two sons.
And back to the calls we go now. We've got Lucy with us next in Delafield. Hi, Lucy.
Hi there. I work full-time, so does my husband, and we have a 1.5 and 6-year-old, so we know the trick of getting them to eat. Some of the things we've tried is just trying to prep meals ahead that we can freeze and then take out that are quickly, made. We make some of our own things like ketchup that are lower in sodium and sugar. And I think getting the kids involved has really helped us. So if they're involved in the preparation and the cooking, they seem to be more apt to eat it. The same goes for getting them involved, helping in the garden and those kinds of things, too. And I just wanted to suggest a book called French Kids Eat Everything, and it's about a Canadian mom who moved her kids to France. And they were picky eaters, and just the fundamental difference in how different cultures approach food is a good read.
Right. That's an interesting one. We actually interviewed the author on this show, Lucy. And since you seem like you've got a good handle on this, what are some of the meals that you freeze and cook with your kids ahead of time?
Well, we do some healthier toddler muffins that are low in sugar, and we've tried to even sneak in some vegetable purees so they don't know. Soups a lot of times. We'll even do, just frozen pastas. And sometimes it's just even leftovers that we freeze in smaller kid-sized containers.
Great. Well, those are some good ideas, Lucy. Thank you so much for calling. And Lucy is getting her kids involved in the whole eating process, which sounds like it gives them a bigger stake in what they're going to eat later. Is that one way to go, Jim?
Absolutely. In fact, I was going to say in response to her comments that getting children involved in the kitchen, again, is a really important way to get them more knowledgeable about what they're eating. And the American Heart Association on its website has a number of kid-friendly recipes. And so there are those resources out there for your listeners to involve their children in their cooking and their food preparation.
Well, Lucy, thanks for the call. And we'll go next to Sharon in Door County. Hi, Sharon.
Hi, Kirsten. Thank you for taking my call. This is a subject that is kind of one of my soapboxes because there is so much knowledge to be shared via various resources. There is a documentary that I would highly encourage anyone, and I actually have the idea that it should be shown as a movie to all children that are in school at a certain grade level, where they would, enhance their understanding of what actually is a calorie, because a calorie isn't always a calorie. And there's a lot more that's on this documentary. But a quick example of that is, if you have 160 calories of almonds, which is about a small handful, and you eat that, you're going to have a slow release of slow rise of the blood sugar, which then also has a slow release of the insulin. But if you compare that now to someone who has a Coke for a soda, and that's 160 calories, that is going to have an immediate increase almost of the blood sugar going up, which then all of a sudden, instead of it being a slow release, insulin has to shoot out. It's like a fan going instead of just turning a slow switch. And that causes an output of fat. And the sugar is, according to the documentary, fed up. The sugar is four times more addictive than cocaine.
Sugar addictive. That's something we've heard recently, that foods containing high concentrations of sugar, salt, fat can have an addictive effect on us, as Sharon says. Is that a factor that doctors are worried about, Jim?
I think it's becoming more and more of a worry. In fact, Dr. Nora Volkow, who is the head of the National Institute of Drug Abuse, she has an excellent video on TEDx, if any of your listeners ever look at that on the web, in which she talks about the whole issue of foods, especially foods that are heavy in sugar, salt, and fat, and what it does in terms of the brain, rewiring the brain chemistry. But the point that your listener was making about sugary drinks like sodas, like juices that are less than 100% fruit juices, which many parents think, well, gee whiz, that's healthy, it's a fruit juice. Well, it's not. And in fact, those calories are empty calories.
And we have to leave it there. Jim, thank you so much for your time today. We've been speaking with Jim O'Hara, Health Promotion Policy Director at the Center for Science in the Public Interest.